Been asked to read from letters to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young, very much for reading. I just want to pick up from verse number 3, where we left off on Tuesday in these half hour with the Bible series. And notice that from verse 3 to verse 14, we have one continuous sentence, the longest sentence that ever flowed from the pen of the Apostle Paul. It has no full stops, no commas, no semicolons, just one continuous sentence. Let me remind you of three things that are stated in verse number 3. We're stated, first of all, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. So the blessings of the Christian are spiritual, whereas the blessings for Israel, they were material. Then we're told that our blessings are located in the heavenly places. And thirdly, those blessings are secured for us in Christ. So what we want to consider on this session is this. The first three of those spiritual blessings that Paul enumerates. In verse number 4, we have the blessing of divine choice. In verse number 5, the blessing of divine predestination. And in verse 6, the blessing of divine acceptance. Says the Apostle Paul in verse number 4, according as he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So immediately we're introduced to a sphere of divine choice. The theologians would call it election. So does the Apostle Paul when he wrote his letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, I think it's verse number 4, he speaks to the brethren beloved of God, knowing your election. Again, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, we give thanks to God because he hath chosen you unto salvation. But it's not just a truth presented to us by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he speaks of elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through the sanctification of the Spirit, and by obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this great truth of election, or if you will, of divine choice, was held by both the apostles, Peter, the apostle to the circumcision, the apostle Paul, the apostle to the uncircumcision. It does raise a question, of course. How was it that we were chosen by God in Christ, and that before the foundation of the world? That is a tremendous statement. Before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, God chose us in Christ, indicating to us that God and Christ, they both existed before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Of course, both God and Christ are eternal in their existence. And so we find that before the foundation of the world, before ever God made the heavens and the earth, before ever he introduced time, before ever he introduced man, we were chosen in Christ. That does raise the question, how is it possible that God could choose us before the foundation of the world, when we did not even exist? Of course, we can go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and remember what God did in those chapters. In chapter 2, he created man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And to that man was given headship over all the creation of God, so that man was superior to the animal creation, for he gave them all their names. But then notice this, that it says in Genesis 1 verse 27 that God blessed them, and yet he had only created one, that is Adam, one man. What then did God mean when he said that God blessed them? Well, what God saw, that actually the woman God saw was in the man. And because the woman was in the man, then God could say he had blessed them. And so the woman with the man enjoyed the glory that was given unto that first man when God crowned him with both honor and glory as the head of his creation at that point. You see, when God put Adam into a deep sleep, he took from Adam one rib. From that one rib, he builded a woman and brought that woman unto Adam, that she might be his companion and his complement, and share with him the glory and honor that God had bestowed upon the man. And yet we notice, before ever God had taken that rib out from Adam, Eve existed, as it were, in that rib. So that when God removed it and from it built a woman, we find that before ever the woman existed, she was in Adam. Now that's just a simple illustration, but that was so of Christ. Before ever we existed, God saw us in Christ, and so he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But what was the great purpose of God in choosing you and me before the foundation of the world, making that choice of us in Christ? It was that we should be holy and without blame before him. Up until this point in time, God only had angels before him. Myriads of angels were before God. That never satisfied the heart of God. To have spirit beings surrounding his throne, doing his bidding, there was a great desire in the heart of God that he should have you and me, that we should be before him, holy and without blame. And the great purpose of the divine choice was just that. Think for a moment. How does God see us in Christ at this moment in time? He sees us holy and without blame. God sees us in Christ holy. And yet each and all of us would have to say, That would not be true of us at all times. Without blame, oh, so often we find ourselves blameworthy. But because God has chosen us in Christ, he sees us even at this present time, holy and without blame before him. Of course, the day will come when we shall be before him, when the church is raptured to heaven at the second coming of Christ. We shall be before God, holy and without blame. So the first great blessing that Paul speaks about is God having chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Says verse number 5, the second great blessing was that of predestination. And what Paul is saying to us is this: according as God chose us in Christ, having then predestinated us, that is, having marked us out beforehand, that we should be for the adoption of children. So says the apostle, our second great blessing is that of predestination, when God predetermined in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be and enjoy the adoption of children. Of course, the word adoption in our Bible would be have a different meaning to what we know of as adoption today as it takes place. For a couple may see a child from a poor background perhaps and needing to be cared for, and a couple may adopt that child. And having adopted that child, they will be more than willing to spend their wealth upon that child and also to expend their love upon that child. But there's one thing they could not do when they adopted the child. They could not give to that child their nature. You see, that child was begotten of a father and born of a woman, a mother. And therefore, that child had the nature of the father that begot them and the mother who from whom they were born. But with God, he has begotten us again, and that through his Holy Spirit, so that we have been given the very nature of God. And so the apostle reminds us that after all, God predetermined before the foundation of the world that we should be and enjoy the adoption of children. Of course, the word adoption is really meaning the placing of sons. And what God has done for you and for me, he's given us a placing of sons, and that before him. How did he do it? Well, he says this: having predestinated us unto that position and placing of sons, it was by Jesus Christ unto himself. In other words, God wasn't even content just to have a people before him eternally, holy and without blame. He wanted persons upon whom he could expend his love. And therefore we learn from the prayer of the apostle of the Lord Jesus in John 17, when he prayed unto his Father that they might be loved even as he, the Father, had loved him. And so we find that the second great blessing is this, that we've been brought into a position to enjoy sonship, sons of God, born again and begotten again of the Holy Spirit, and that through the Word of God. That was what the desire of God's heart was, that he might have those before him upon whom he could expend his love. And so it was by Jesus Christ, it was unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. These two tremendous doctrinal truths are verily true in your experience and mine, for they've been realized in Christ. Let us enjoy it, chosen in Christ, predestinated to enjoy a position of sons, and that before God through Jesus Christ. Says the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 26, you're all the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So that predetermined purpose of God was brought into reality in your experience and mine when we first trusted, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was according to the good pleasure of his will. Then there's verse number six opens to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so we learn from the apostle's pen that now we believers, you and I, we are to the praise of the glory of his grace. In other words, the grace that God has shown to us, the grace which motivated him to do what he has done for us, there's a glory attached to it, and there's praise attached to it. It says the apostle, we are to the praise of the glory of his grace. We're in, that is, in that grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so we now find we're not only chosen in Christ, we're not only been given a place of sonship before God, that we might enjoy the love of God, and God might enjoy us as his sons, but he's made us accepted in his beloved. Notice, not in Jesus. Not in Jesus, that lovely man that once walked the streets of time. Not in Christ, in which all our blessings are located and secured. Not even in the Lord, an expression that will come again and again in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of this epistle. But God has made us accepted in his beloved. And so we find that God now brings before us what the Lord Jesus Christ was to him. He was his beloved son. You remember the first time that God made that great declaration? The Lord Jesus Christ had been born at Bethlehem, brought up in Nazareth, that despised town. Said Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The Lord Jesus Christ, he grew up in Nazareth. And throughout those 30 years, and those 30 years were spent just like your years and mine, a day at a time. Yet every day of those 30 years, says Isaiah chapter 50, his ear was opened. And God had given to him the tongue of the learned. And he was not rebellious. No, in those 30 years in Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ grew up a day at a time. Every day began the same. Morning by morning, mine ear was opened. And now the Lord Jesus has come to the point where he's about to commence his public ministry. And therefore, having been baptized of John, suddenly the heavens are parted asunder, says the Gospel by Mark. And the voice from heaven was heard, thou art my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight. And after 30 years of living in Nazareth and growing up in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of God, the one in whom he had found all his delight. Coming more to the end of his public ministry, we find God pronounces again that same statement, but this time on the Mount of Transfiguration. When the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured before those three disciples, when the glory broke forth from his innermost being, so his very garments shone glistened like white, and his face shone like the brightness of the sun, it was at that occasion that the voice of the Father was heard. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And it says the Apostle Peter, he says he remembered that time when we were eyewitness of his majesty and heard the voice from heaven. And so the Lord Jesus Christ declared twice when he was here upon the earth as the beloved Son of God. And in God's beloved Son, God has made us accepted. What a tremendous thought, is it not? That we are accepted of God, but in his own beloved Son. but upon what ground? Very interesting when you consider the Old Testament scripture. It does give us illustrations of divine truth in the New Testament. We find that in Leviticus chapter 1, an Israelite could bring a burnt offering unto God. And he laid his hand upon the burnt offering, and that burnt offering was killed, and the whole burnt offering, apart from his skin, was put upon the altar and ascended to God as a sweet smelling savour. Then it is said, that man did that for his acceptance. So the Israelite, bringing his burnt offering, found his acceptance with God in all the sweet savour of the offering that he offered unto God there upon the altar in the court of the tabernacle. Just a reminder, of course, that the death of Christ was something similar. For his death was a sacrifice well pleasing unto God, ascending as a sweet smelling savour to God, so that through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself unto God altogether without spot. And in the death of Christ, we have been made accepted, and that in God's beloved Son. So the death of Christ is the foundation of your acceptance in mine as far as God is concerned. Just like the Israelite, he was accepted of God in all the value of that burnt offering he offered to God. But there's still more. You see, when in Leviticus chapter 23, God introduced the feast of Jehovah, we find that one of those feasts was called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits. It was harvest time, and the farmer went into his harvest fields, and from his harvest fields he took just one sheath of the harvest. He brought it unto the priest. Giving it to the priest waved it before the Lord. And for what purpose? For the man's acceptance. So now we have a farmer in Israel. He finds his acceptance in that first fruit of his harvest that he brought unto the priest that was weighed before the Lord for his acceptance. Says the Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Corinth, when a matter had arisen among them that there was no resurrection of the dead, says the Apostle Paul, but now is Christ risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in resurrection, is described as the first fruits, for he is the very first man raised from the dead, who's entered into heaven itself in a body, so that we can say today that we do have a man, a risen man, in the glory of the presence of God. But just as when that man brought that first fruits of his harvest, it was declared that he found acceptance with God in the value of that first fruit. So our acceptance in God's beloved Son, not only based upon the death of the Lord Jesus, but upon his resurrection. But further, we learn once more that when we go back to Exodus chapter 28, and Aaron is being invested as Israel's high priest, he wore special garments, and having put the mitre upon his head, Moses then took a plate of gold, and upon it was inscribed, Holiness unto the Lord. And as Moses put that plate of gold with that inscription upon it, upon the mitre that was upon Aaron's head, it declared it was for their acceptance. And so we find that Israel found their acceptance in Aaron, their high priest, who actually represented them before God. We come now to Hebrews chapter 9. When we come to the closing verses of that chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our great high priest, and says the writer, who appears before God for us. And so we find that our acceptance in God's beloved Son is upon the ground of his death. is in the good of his resurrection. But now we find a man exalted into heaven, and in heaven, our great high priest is before God, representing us before God as our great high priest. And we find our acceptance in Christ, our great high priest. So these three great blessings, the blessing of being chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world, to have been predestinated to enjoy the position of sonship, and then to find that we've been made accepted, not in Jesus, not in Christ, not in the Lord, but in God's beloved Son. So what a tremendous truth the apostle is presenting to us in relation to the spiritual blessings that are all ours in Christ. So the love with which God loves Christ, he loves us. And as God's beloved Son, we are beloved of God in him. And so we end our session today with this great thought that we have been made accepted in God's beloved Son. Amen.